friends. It's a grand thing to be alive these days while God is offering salvation to the undeserving. Many have already received God's gift and are rejoicing on their homeward journey. Some have neglected this all-important matter, and it is for their sakes that we proclaim the gospel message. Whether you are saved or unsaved, I trust that you will be profited by listening to this evangelistic program. This is Welcome Detweiler speaking. Listen as the choir sings Redeemed. Chapter 1, verse 17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your hope, your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
my poem is entitled, Whom the Lord Loveth. Whom the Lord Loveth, ah, I read these words again, and then I understand the reason for this pain. 'Tis not because the Lord has ceased to care for me. Ah, no, I see it now, because he loveth me. Whom the Lord loveth, O thou soul of mine, rejoice. It is enough to know this pain is his dear choice. And as each wound is given by, now mine eye doth see, it is the pierced hand of Jesus chastens me. Whom the Lord loveth, yes, this marks me out as such. And loving as he does, he sendeth not too much of trial, grief, or burden. But as I can bear, and of loving sympathy full and ample share. Whom the Lord loveth, oh, the wonder of it all, that he should love a guilty wretch like me at all. And now each step is hedged about with his sweet care, so where he leads, in joy or pain, my joy is there. Privilege we have of exalting thy blessed Son. We ask thy blessing on the messages in song, and as we go to thy precious word and seek to tell the story of thy love and grace, bless, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. subject that I have chosen for this broadcast is, how can a person be saved and know it? I'm assuming that there are some honest, earnest souls in my radio audience who have already heard dozens of sermons on this subject. But some of you are still confused because you have listened to the conflicting ideas regarding the way of salvation. It is not my purpose to add to your confusion by presenting my own personal opinion. That would be unprofitable. The statements that I make on this broadcast I base upon the authority of the Word of God. I am assuming that you do accept the Bible to be the inspired Word of God. If you do not, there is no hope for you. The future holds nothing but darkness and uncertainty. The man who has no Bible has nothing. The man who has a Bible and doesn't believe it is not reasonable, for the Bible is the only source for spiritual guidance. When I accept the authority of the Word of God on this subject of how to be saved and know it, I can make each statement in the form of a challenge. My first statement is that there is only one way of salvation. In order to be popular, I am supposed to believe that God has many ways of saving a soul, and that sincerity is the basis upon which God saves people. I'm supposed to believe that God will save all good people, but they haven't told me how good I have to be. I'm supposed to preach every sinner into heaven on the day of his funeral. I'm supposed to believe that everyone will be saved in the end. I'm even supposed to believe that the devil himself will be saved. My depraved human nature may even impel me to accept such reasoning. But my Bible, which I have accepted to be the divine authority, will not allow me to believe in many ways of salvation. It may seem narrow, surely anything but liberal, but I am not responsible for the writing of the Bible. I am only responsible to believe it. Now let me give you the scriptures which prove that there is only one way of salvation. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 13. The Lord Jesus is speaking. These are his words. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way. Did you notice that? Narrow is the way, not narrow are the ways, but narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. John 14:6, the Lord Jesus speaking again. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's rather than narrow, is it not? But it verifies the statement that there is only one way of salvation. This overrules the sincerity theory, for Mohammedans are most sincere, and so are others. John 10:9, Jesus speaking again, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Notice, not I am one of the doors, but I am the door. The definite article is used. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If you believe anything in the Bible, these verses should be sufficient to prove to you that there is only one way to be saved. If you want to know the reason for so many confusing ways existing today, your Bible will answer that question. Proverbs 16:25, here it is. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. One more, in Isaiah 59:8, these words, they have made them crooked paths, whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. These are only a few of the many scriptures that present the negative side and accounts for so many ways of salvation being propagated. Human experience bears witness that the Bible is true. The last verse I read in Isaiah 59 and 8 says regarding the various ways of salvation that whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. So I'm very emphatic when I say that unless you have come to God and accepted his one and only way of salvation, you have no peace. There is no peace in saying the idea of salvation that I have found seems reasonable. There is no peace in saying my mother's religion is good enough for me. There is no peace in saying I belong to the largest body of religious movements. There is no peace in saying my church is as good as any of the rest. There is no peace in hoping that somehow all will turn out well in the end. The only people that have peace are those who are sheltered from God's wrath by the one and only way of salvation, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture for it, Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You may live a good, clean, moral life for 50 years or more, and apart from Christ and his finished work, you are still destitute of peace and salvation. God's one way of salvation does not produce temporary results, but a work of divine grace which gives peace and assurance. That is, as permanent as eternity. And here's the verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Permanent conversions are the only kind that bring glory to God. Temporary conversions make a mock of God and stumble other sinners who turn away disgusted. You have no right to tell anyone that you are saved unless you are the possessor of eternal life. And of course, that will last for all eternity. Honest soul, would you like to have peace with God? Would you like to be absolutely sure of eternal life? It's available. But it's available only in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must remember that Christ went to Calvary's cross and died in your place. He took your judgment. He paid for your sins. And apart from his substitutionary atoning death, there could be no salvation offered to you. But thank God, we have the record in the Bible that Christ did die for our sins. And therefore, through his work, he can offer salvation to everyone who desires to be saved. It must all begin with a sincere desire to be saved. I wonder if you have that desire. If so, you are eligible to put in your claim. And God asks of you just one thing, to bow your heart before him and to say, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for dying for my sins. I want to thank you for paying on the cross of Calvary the sin debt that I owed. And I'm going to receive the Lord Jesus as my substitute, as my Savior. And the moment you do it from the heart, the Word of God says, that person shall never perish, but is now the possessor of eternal life. I trust this very hour you will turn to this wonderful Savior. You will enjoy the salvation that is offered through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you will be able to say, I am saved and I know it. The reason I know it is because God's Word says that I have everlasting life. May God bless his Word, and we thank you for listening to this gospel program. Thank you.
Thank you.